Proverbs chapter 31, starting with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far more above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also raises while it is yet night and provides food for her household, the portion of her maidservants. She considers the field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength. This strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands of the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She excels her hand to the poor. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. While he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them. Supplies sash for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Her daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her for the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Praise God. God's word abides forever. Amen. I want to talk to you today about a godly woman, and I want to talk to you about what a godly woman looks like. What does a godly woman look like? Now, how many know this really needs to be preached today? You know what? Because here's what we need. We need to not only talk about a godly woman, we need to see a godly woman. We need to have example. One of the issues with kids being raised up, and they have a lot of problems because, here's why, because they're not seeing it modeled for them. Or the seeing that is modeled for them is the wrong thing. How many know your kids aren't going to do what you tell them to do? Now, before you get mad at me for saying that, understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying really is your kids won't do what you tell them to do, but they're more likely to do what you show them to do. Does that make sense? See, pictures are louder than words. And your actions in modeling. Moms, listen to me. If you want to raise kids that love Jesus Christ, if you want to live kids that love God and are tender to the things of God, then here's what you need to do. You need to model that for them. Today, I want to express and show you what a godly woman really looks like. And the first thing that she does, the first thing she looks like is this. Look what this says. A godly woman does this. A godly mother does this. You know what? She is a person who trusts God. See, a person that trusts God. Now, everything that I talk about today is going to stem from this one thing. Because trusting the Lord, having a relationship with God, is what you, moms, it's what you really need to do all these other things that I'm going to talk about. But she's a person, and she puts her trust in God. Look at what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Look at what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say, all your heart. All your heart. See, ladies, here's what happens. And it happens to men too. It happens to all of us. But here's what happens. God gives us direction, tells us things to do. And there's a part of us that says, no, 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 no. I know better. I know what's right to do. I know what I'm going to do. I know what I believe is right. And there's so many times that there's something that God will speak to us in his word or by his spirit, and it just doesn't make sense to us. We think, man, we better not do that. Can I tell you what a godly woman will do? A godly woman will let God override what she thinks, and she'll do what God tells her to do. Now, let me tell you, that's very hard. Because what we tend to be, you know what? Ladies, are you listening to me? What we tend to be, how many ladies tend to be controlling? Don't raise your hands. I don't even want to know. But you want it just some way or a certain way or certain like that, like this. And it's got to be like that. And it's got to be like this. And we can take that. And that's a beautiful strength. We're going to talk about strengths and weaknesses in a little bit. And it's a beautiful strength that will serve you well. But how many know your front-sided strength has some back-sided weakness? Can I talk to you ladies for a bit? And what happens, listen to me, is sometimes you can even, you know what? You can even become manipulative in saying, no, 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 no. And you call it something else, but it's really not that. You really become manipulative in saying, no, 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 it's got to be this way. Now listen, that's a bad thing to do, but especially when it comes to God. How many know the Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways? And a godly woman will submit to God even though it doesn't make sense to her. The other day, I was my mother-in-law's in the hospital. I appreciate your prayers. She's doing much, much better. But she was in the hospital, and I was hanging out with her yesterday. And I was in these chairs. And I was in these very, very uncomfortable, hard chairs. And hour became hour, and 2 hours, and 3 hours, and 4 hours, and 5 hours, and I was there, and that chair was getting more and more uncomfortable. How many know when you have one uncomfortable chair and you get two uncomfortable chairs, all you have is two uncomfortable chairs? You know, I tried to put my feet up and make it, no, just made it more uncomfortable. And so every time the nurse would come in, I'd say, hey, just wanted to remind you, if you can find one of those big chairs that kind of slide back and make it in a bed, because I knew that I was going to be there for a lot longer. I knew one of my children was going to spend the night. And I was like, can you keep on? So every time she'd come in, I'd say, hey, have you found that chair yet? Have you found that chair yet? And she'd come on saying, well, you got to understand, we used to have a lot of those chairs. Now we only have three, and it's all the whole thing. All right, well, I said, why do you keep on saying that? Because I believe the favor of God, amen? So I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be blessed, and I'm gonna be in a nice chair. And my whoever, you know, spends the night, they're going to be a nice chair. So every time she come in, I just be nice and sweet. How many know it's important to be nice and sweet? Somebody say nice and sweet. So I'd be nice and sweet and say, hey, is it, you know what? I know you're on it. I know you're going to, you know, but every time she come in, guess what the answer was? We don't have that chair. And that chair that I was on kept on getting harder. Amen. How many know it wasn't really getting harder, but I felt like it was getting harder. It was getting harder, harder, harder. Well, all of a sudden, later on, the doctor comes in. Now, how many know, I'm thinking, the doctor, how many know they listen to the doctors? Doctor says what to do, guess what they're going to do? You know what? Sometimes, no, we can't do that. Why not? Because that's the doctor's orders. The people in the hospital obey the doctors. Whatever the doctors say, that's what they do. Is that not true? At least that's what it seems to me. So the doctor came in, and all of a sudden I got this good idea. You know what my idea was? My idea is get the doctor to get the chair. Because this nurse ain't really listening to you, but the doctor tells her, and you know what? But the Holy Spirit said, no, don't ask the doctor that. I thought, what? How many of God will talk to you? I'm thinking, why in the world does he want me not to talk to the doctor? So the doctor kept on talking. So the doctor's about to leave. He says, is there anything else I can do for you? I'm thinking, absolutely, give me one of those good chairs. You know, that's what you can do for. I said, no, I'm going to be obedient. See, here's what I'm saying, ladies. Understand that what's really going on, it's going to happen to you, that the Holy Spirit is going to tell you something. You're going to see something in the Word of God, and God is going to speak it to you. And there's something in you. It's the controlling part of you where you are going to want to take control and override what God says. The Bible says a godly woman leans not into her own understanding. She acknowledges God. She allows. She's going to say, no, I'm going to allow, even though it doesn't make sense to her. It made no sense that I wouldn't ask the doctor. He says, is there anything else I can do for you before I leave? And I almost got it out of my mouth because I want to say, because I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be, this chair is getting, anyway, here's my point. My point is, then he starts talking to my mother-in-law again. And they talk for five more minutes. He's about to leave, and he says, is there anything more I can do for you? And I'm telling you what, it was almost here. It was like, here's the truth. I've done that. I've override God over and over again. And it, listen, when you override, here's why, because God's ways are higher than your ways. And we all have to learn this. But moms, you need to learn this. You need to understand that God will speak to you through his Spirit and through his word, and I'll give you direction, but if you don't follow his direction, if you don't, what did I need to do? I needed to not ask the doctor. You say, Pastor, why is that? Why do you think, I don't know. I don't need to know. I don't need to figure it all out. That's what we get, moms, and that's sometimes how you moms are. You got to figure everything out, and you got to have an angle, and you're going to say it, and you're going to fix it, and you're going to do it this way, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, no, I don't want you to do it this way. I want you to do it that way. And it's everything in you to shutteth thou moutheth. Am I, can somebody raise your hand and testify that I'm telling you the truth? And here's what I'm saying. Well, what, Pastor, what happened? I didn't say anything. And I'm telling you, that second time that he asked, it was almost out of my mouth. But I've learned. I've override the Holy Spirit over and over again, and it never has served me good. What'd you do? I didn't say anything. I said, Doctor, have a great day. Thank you. And then I trusted in the Lord that he was going to figure it out. Less than 2 hours later, some guy comes in with this Cadillac chair. You know what? Just comes rolling it in. He says, where would you like it? I say, could you put it right over there? You say, Pastor, but I don't think that had anything to do with it. You know what? You know, you're just making. No, listen. That's how we get so cynical that God can't even talk to us anymore. We think everything is just about. Well, you know, no. Let me tell you what. God is real, and he speaks to people, and we need to. Moms, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of our homes, and he can't be in control of our homes if when he tells us to say something, he tells us to do something that we override him and say, nope. I know better. Can I tell you, moms? You know a lot of things. You do know I have an apple for you after church, right? Okay, just checking. You know a lot of things, but let me tell you what, you don't know everything. And when we act like we know everything, you know what? Our families suffer. And our lives suffer. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. Number one, a godly woman trusts in God. Leans not unto her own understanding, acknowledges God in all his ways. Number two, a godly woman does this. She's a person who will not worry. Now, remember I said everything really stems off this first thing of putting your trust in God. Why is she not worrying? Because she puts her trust in God. She's not worrying because, listen, she can rely on what God tells her to do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Look what it says. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Stop worrying about tomorrow. You know what? I told the first service this, and I'll tell you the same thing. You know what worry is? Worry is sin. We don't want to couch it like that. We want to say, no, I'm just concerned. I'm just care. No. Listen, worry. You know what worry is the sin of? Worry is the sin of not trusting in God. Worry is the sin of not trusting God. And a godly woman, she doesn't worry. Here's what she does. She casts her care upon God. Why? Because God cares for her. She isn't anxious for anything, but everything with prayer and supplication, she lets her request be known to God, and God with thanksgiving, and God answers her prayers. Why? Because she has faith. She's putting her trust in God, and that's what she's going to decide to do. Look at chapter 6, but go to verse, I have it up here on the screen. Look at verse 26. Look what it says. Look at the birds of the air. They neither toil, nor they neither reap nor sow. They neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, hey ladies. He's talking to men too. But hey, you know what? Ladies, do me a favor. Make sure you are looking at these examples that are all around. These birds aren't worrying. They don't gather. They don't have all these barns that they're gathering. No, they're just putting their trust that God's going to take care of them. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? Look at this next verse. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Then God says, now if God was clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, what is the real issue of worry? See, you know what we want to do? We want to couch what our worry is, and we want to call it other things. Can we call it what it is today? Can we be honest and say, you know what? When we're worrying, the issue is that we're really not putting our trust in God. And Jesus has the integrity to look at people and say, here's the issue. The issue is you just aren't trusting in me. Can I tell you, ladies, God will take care of you. God will take care of your situation. And I know they're like, but Pastor, these people are, and what? These are my children. These are my grandkids. I'm supposed to worry. No, you're not supposed to worry. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to trust God. You know what? Your kids don't need to see you worrying. Your kids need to see you happy and singing and joyful. Amen? How many know a worry heart isn't a singing heart? A worry heart isn't a happy heart. It's a depressed and concerned and, oh, you know what? That's not what you want to provide for your kids in the home. You want to provide a tenderness and a joy and a confidence. Listen, a confidence that your kids see you and your trust for God. Number one, you know what? They trust in God. Godly woman trusts in God. Number two, a godly woman does not worry. Number three, oh, this is good. Ladies, are you ready? Number three, listen. Hey, men, you know, don't worry about it. Your day's coming up too, okay? Amen? Listen, number three, a godly woman is a woman. She is a person who will not get mad. Oh, don't you, Pastor, you made me so mad when you said that. Hey, you missed the point. Don't get mad. Amen. See, we live in a day where we have justified our anger. We have justified our getting mad or getting upset. Look at 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Look what it says. For God has not given us a spirit. Everybody say spirit. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a love, joy, a sound mind. The King James, I think, says, not sound mind, but it says a, what does it say? Love, power, and a self-control. Ooh, let's all say self-control. See, now notice what Paul writes Timothy, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Can I tell you what, ladies? Sometimes when stuff is coming out of your mouth, and it's stuff that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. And let me tell you why. Because it's coming from the wrong spirit. That's not a spirit of love. That's not a spirit of joy. That's not a spirit of peace. That's not a spirit. It's not coming from the God spirit. It's a spirit of worry. It's a spirit of doubt. And the spirit of God is a spirit, and it includes, Paul writes, it includes self-control. You're not out of control. You're in control. We'll talk about your how this all works in a minute, but I want to show you another scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 and 30. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 and 30. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and necessary edification, that it would impact grace to the hearer. Ladies, are the words that you're saying, notice what it says, let no corrupt word sin. I'm not saying most of the time, but in your life, and here's the standard, in your life, you ought to make sure that no corrupt words proceeding out of your mouth. That you're led by the Spirit of God. Here's what you want to ask. You know what? Are your words edifying? Are they building? That's what it means, building. Are you building people up? Is it impacting other people? Are your words impacting other people? When they get away from your presence, they think, man, that was encouraging. Or when they get away from their presence, do they think, oh man, I'm glad I'm away from your presence? That is kind of an ouch. But how many know that can be true? Because we can be harsh with what we say. Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. Joshua chapter 6, look over here up on the screen. Now Joshua was commanding the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. You say, Pastor, why do you bring that passage up? Here's why. Let me tell you the context. Let me tell you the story. Here's what's going on. Joshua is given command over Israel. They're given a plan to attack Jericho. The plan doesn't seem to make any sense because they're told to just go around every day around the city, and the seventh day they're going told to shout, not till the seventh day. And Joshua tells him this. He says, Joshua goes out and he tells the people, hey guys, not a word. Can I tell you the truth? Sometimes the very thing that God wants us to conquer would be conquered except for our mouth. Ladies, give me a good amen. Amen. Except for our mouth. Except for what we are going to say. And Joshua says, no, listen, you want to conquer this? You need to be in control, self-control. You need to control. See, you don't. Joshua doesn't need somebody saying, you know what, those people walking around thinking, what a dumb idea this is, right? How are the walls going to come down? How many know God's ways are not our ways? So God gives you a plan, and many times you're not going to do that plan, and we even talk bad about that plan. No, you know what we need to do? We need to just be quiet. We need to say, no, I'm going to let no corrupt word proceed out of my mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. Can I tell you what? They controlled their mouths. They only spoke when God told them to speak. What happened? You know what? You know the story. The walls came down supernaturally. Could supernatural things take place in your life if you would simply let God control you in everything you say? And so you're not, watch this, you're not allowing circumstances to get you mad. Well, they made me so mad. No. You made you so mad. You allowed them to make you mad. Does that make sense? No, they made me. No. You gotta understand. Don't give them control. Keep control. You can do whatever you want to do. Watch this. How in the world could you? Now, let me prove it to you. The Bible says, think on these things. Whatever is good, honorable, good report, praiseworthy, meditate on that. You know what Paul is saying? Paul's saying, you make your choice. You decide what you think on. See, and there's situations, ladies, I'm not saying there's not situations in your life. I'm not saying you don't come home and communicated to your husband how to do that. You come home and he's done just exactly the opposite. And so have your kids, and they're running around like wild, it's like, what happened? I left this house and it was all in order and everything when I came home, and I asked you to do one simple thing and look what happened. I'm not saying that part of you doesn't want to scream. I'm just saying, judge what part you want to scream. Judge what spirit it's coming from. Take the time and ask, hey, honey, what happened? After they get done telling you what happened, you might agree, hey, I think that was a good idea. You know what? When the dog jumped in the pool and you had to save the dog, and then the dog's hair got in the drain and you had to protect that, and the kids got a little out of control, you know what? You would have made exactly the same choices that he made. Or maybe even if you made different choices. How many know sometimes we just need to give grace to people? Oh, ladies, give me a big amen on this. How many know sometimes we just need to give grace to people? Amen. Can I tell you what? Listen, a godly woman doesn't get mad. Number four, a godly woman, she's a woman who gets mad. Pastor, I don't understand. Does she get mad or does she not get mad? Well, here's what I'm saying. Let me communicate clearly. Here's what I'm saying.
She doesn't get mad, you know what, based on situations. She gets mad on purpose. Come on. She is purposeful. Ladies, you just analyze it. How many times did you preconceive, you're coming home and you're thinking, I tell you what, when I get home, I'm just going to go off on my husband. I'm just going to go off on my kids. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be mad. No, see, that didn't happen. You know why you got mad? Because you got mad because you came into a situation and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. And you know what you were? Did I tell you I had a nice apple for you after church? Okay. I'm just asking. Did I tell you what that is? You know what that is? You are out of control. You are allowing a situation. That is not the man I'm talking about. I'm talking about a righteousness that says, this is wrong. A self-righteousness that says, a godly righteousness that says, this is wrong. How many know there's some things going on in this country? And ladies, you know what? We need to get mad at that. You know why we have laws in place right now where people who drive drunk will, you know what, have stiff penalties, including their license taken away from them and including spending time in jail, rightfully so. Do you know why we have that? Here's why. Because some moms got tired of people driving drunk and the justice system just slapping them on the wrist and saying, don't do that anymore. Come on, am I right, ladies? See, some moms got mad and said, enough, this is wrong. I'm saying is get mad, ladies, but get mad righteously. Get mad for righteous purposes. Get mad with the injustice that is taking place in our society. Get mad with stuff that, you know what? Get mad when your kids are cleaning the room but doing it with a bad attitude. Hallelujah. Tell your kids. Speak to your kids. Tell them, hey, I don't want the room cleaned. I want it cleaned, and I want you to smile about it. Can you say amen? How many know your attitude is everything? And listen, ladies, and you've got to teach your kids, you choose your attitude. Yeah, but I'm going to, see, I'm just saying, that's a huge problem in our society. We have this understanding with your attitude is just, you know, like situation. No, you choose your attitude. So here's what I'm saying, saints of God, angels, I call my kids angels. Angels, act like angels and clean up your room with a good attitude. Can I tell you what? We've got to speak up for righteousness. And moms, don't get mad and be out of control. You get mad and be in control. Allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Is this making sense to anybody? Okay. Number one, she's a person who trusts in God. Number two, she's a person who doesn't worry. Number three, she's a person who doesn't get mad. Number four, she's a person who gets mad. Number five, she's a person who, listen to me, who has God on her mind. I like what Paul says. Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. Moms, do you want to raise your kids, you know what, where they're not out of control? Do you want to raise your kids? Do you want to see your kids serve God? Do you want to see their kids not just serve God, but be passionately in love with God? Can I tell you what? You need to passionately be in love with God. You need to show them an example. You need to wake up early and get on your knees and pray for your kids. Pray for your husband. Listen, moms, we need you to pray for us. We need you to pray for the kids, pray for the grandkids. But can I tell you what you need to do? You need to then get up on your knees and throughout the day have a relationship with God. Because you know what? It's different. In Christianity, can I just be honest with somebody? In Christianity, what we do is we compartmentize stuff.
We're like, okay, now I'm going to go to church. You know what I mean? Now I'm going to church. Okay, now I got my, you know, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't got my Bible, you know, I'm going to church, you know, I'm a Christian, you know what I mean? And I tell you what, and then many times, you know what, then we get out of church and we get out of the parking lot. How many are very kind in the parking lot at a Hope Community Church, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, no, you first. No, you first. No, I insist. You know what I mean? You're not saying anything crazy. You're not giving anybody any hand signals that are not appropriate. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me follow you to Walmart and let's see if you know what I'm talking about. Amen? See, all I'm saying is, ladies, understand, you know what? It's very, very confusing for your kids and your grandkids when they see Christianity, you know what, for 3 hours on Sunday, and then there's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know what I mean? It's like, then all of a sudden, no. Guys, Christian mothers, godly mothers, they have God on their mind, not just in the morning when they pray, but when they get up, when they're making the toast, when they burn the toast. You know what? When their husband runs over the dog's tail. Come on. Or the dog's foot. Amen. Can I get an amen from animal lovers? All I'm saying is, guys, we don't need to, listen, we need to have God on our minds all the time. All the time. Number six, watch this. Oh, this is a good one. She is a person who will not let herself listen to trash. She will not allow herself to listen to trash. Okay, Pastor, what are you talking about here? Okay, here, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have a discerning ear. That when somebody starts speaking trash about your neighbor, about your friend, about your cousin, about your pastors, about anyone, you just won't listen to that. You just will quickly get off the phone, and if you have a deep enough relationship with that person, you'll tell them, hey, knock it off. We don't talk that way. Amen. Amen. See, language, bad language is more than just cussing. Okay. How many know perverse language needs to be far from us? How many know this is true? How many know this intrudes, you know what, inappropriate language? And you know, we don't talk that way. We don't talk that way. But part of how we talk is talking about others. We don't do that. What comes from her, this is a person that is in control of her tongue and good things come out of her mouth. Now, can we get a little deeper on this? What happens, ladies? Why does this happen? Well, you have a wonderful strength. And how many know your strength has a backside of weakness? Let's talk about your strength. Your strength is you're detailed. How many recognize ladies are very detailed? Come on, man, you can say amen to this. You know what? They can tell you, you know what? No. Let me tell you where that is. It's on the right-hand side, just quarter left, down right there, second row right there. There's where it is. You know what? And you go out there, oh, I know where it is. And you got to go, come back. Oh, where did you say it was? And they're going to tell you why, because they're detailed. They understand. Why is this a huge strength? It's a huge strength for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. Huge strength. And God has given you that ability. It's a wonderful thing. But how many know that front side of strength has a backside of weakness? Mr. Pastor, what's the backside of weakness? You're a detailed person. And you remember stuff. How many know guys don't remember stuff so good? Amen? We're like, I don't know. It happened a whole 3 weeks ago. I don't remember. How many know women remember stuff? Okay. They remember a lot of stuff. And so you remember what your husband did last week. Did he hurt you last week? You remember that. And you remember when he hurt you 2 weeks ago. And you remember when he hurt you 4 months ago. And 8 months ago. And 4 years ago. And 12 years ago. And 14 years ago. You remember what shoes he had on when he hurt you 14 years ago. Amen.
Right? Is it not true? You just remember that. And so here's what happens. So he walks in and he just got busy. He, you know what, did something boneheaded. You know what, forgot to feed the fish, and you come back in, the fish are floating up on top of the thing. You know what? There was, how many know he didn't get up and think, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to starve those fish today. I'm so tired of those fish, really bug me. I'm going to just starve them to death. How many know? No, that what was he wasn't thinking that. But how many know? But you reminded him to do that. Getting real quiet in this room. And that was connected to something else. And that was connected to something else. And that was connected to something else. And now all he did was forget to empty the trash. And what happens? You know, Mount St. Helens happens. Did I tell you I had a really nice apple for? Can I tell you what? And listen, let me get serious with you. I'm not trying to be negative to anybody, but here's the truth. Here's the truth. Thank you. Here's the truth, guys, ladies. You need to be free of this stuff. You need to recognize your front-sided strength has a back-sided weakness that your enemy will want to exploit, and he is exploiting it. And listen, and the very people that you love, you're pushing away. The very people that you love, you're pushing away. And you don't need to do that, because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not let the sun set on your anger. Okay, he killed the fish, yell at him, you know what, let him apologize, and bury the fish, amen? Go to the toilet, drop it down, flush it, and... You know what? And void voyage. You know what I mean? Amen? Or whatever it is. But what I'm saying is, you've got to be obedient to what the word says. You've got to be a strong woman of God, and your front-sided strength that is awesome has a back-sided weakness that Satan is trying to take advantage of, and he is taking advantage of, and your husband can't understand. And this isn't just your husband. This can be employees. This can be your kids. And you're exploding on them. And a godly woman understands. She's a person who will not listen to junk. But not only not listen to junk, she's a person, you know what, that's in control of her tongue, and good things come out of her mouth. Why? Because her heart is good. The Bible says from the heart the mouth speaks. She has forgiven. She is a forgiver. Listen, ladies, I'm just saying, you want to judge your heart? Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Because your mouth will reveal what's going on in your heart. And listen, and even, ladies, ask somebody else to help judge. Because this is a hard area for you to get. You really think, you don't recognize all this is connected. You don't recognize all this is connected. You think you're just mad at that person for this thing over here. No, you're not. It's connected. And you're freaking out. I won't even ask you ladies to raise your hand if you freak out. But it's taking place. And it doesn't have to. Because God wants you to be free. And God wants you to be free today. And God not only wants you to get an apple today, but God wants you to get delivered today. Number, what am I on? Number 07. She's a person that is a hard worker. We didn't get to this first service. Everybody say she's a hard worker. See? Look at Proverbs 31. 31:13. Proverbs 31:13. Look what it says. Look at it. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Everybody say willingly. It's not a push. She understands. Listen. She understands that as someone who is married, she understands her role to work.
I've known couples, and the husband works, and then he works, and then he works, and then he comes home, and then he works. Because his helpmate isn't really a helpmate to him. I have been so blessed for so many years. I remember coming home when I worked at Albertsons, and coming home, we had a small apartment. We had two kids. How many know two kids can make a quick mess in a small apartment? And I would come home, and you know what? And I would come home late at night, and she would already be in bed. The kids would be in bed, and she'd have just a little couple lights on, and everything would be clean. The rugs were vacuumed, the cabinets were oiled, everything was in its place. And there was something about coming home that just spoke peace to me and joy and comfort. Because here's the thing, you know, I wasn't the neatest guy ever, so it really wasn't about that kind of neatish kind of thing. It was about, wow, my wife loves me. I'm not in this thing alone. We're in this thing together. And so I don't know what that is, you know what I mean? And I know, just like I talk to men, and trust me, man, your day is coming, amen? How many of we got Father's Day coming up? You know what? And I'm going to have a nice gift for you, but I got some things to talk to you about. Amen? Amen? But right now, I just want to say, you know what? I know that men, it's important. And most men aren't going to come in and go, you know what? I don't know why you don't, you know what? Because most men, they just won't do that. They'll just pick up the vacuum and start vacuuming themselves. And praise God, they should. Amen. I said, praise God, they should. Man, this is a side note. This is a preview for Father's Day. But can I tell you what? The vacuum is, you know what? It's godly to vacuum. Don't think it's wimpy. It's godly. Amen. You know what? Let me tell you what. I know how to empty the dishwasher. Amen. Come on. Ooh, ooh. And I know how to fill the dishwasher. Ooh, ooh. But here's the thing. I know Tamara and I are a team. I'm not in this thing alone. Matter of fact, much of the time, you know what? She's working harder than I'm working. And ladies, that's how it should be. Because you're part of the team. You're part of the team. And finally, last but not least, finally, look at this. A godly woman does this. You know what she does? A godly woman is a woman, is a person that others can count on, and she's looked up to. And she's looked up to with respect and honor. Can I tell you what? The Bible says in Isaiah that those who give God honor will get honor. When you start acting like this lady of God, who's not out of control, you're in control. And you get mad, but you get mad at the righteous things. You don't get mad at things that are unrighteous. You are controlled. Your tongue is controlled. You don't just go off and you don't say all kinds of stuff and feel justified. No, you're not like that. You're godly. You're a woman of God who's controlled by the Spirit of God. And you present yourself like that. And others will look at you and they'll honor you. Because let me tell you what, lady, women of God, you are, in today's day, you are unusual. And you are valuable. You are, I'm telling you what, you are so valuable. Your husbands will give, you know what the Bible says? Your husbands will give you honor. You know why? Because they look at you and they think, oh, thank God. You know, I thank God that I married my wife. Because my wife is a godly woman. She cares about the things of God. And she helps raise, we have raised our kids together to love God. You say, but Pastor, I need help. I'm not doing all those things. Well, praise God, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen. Amen? You might be here for way more than an apple, ladies. You might be here to recognize you need some help. You might look at that model and say, I haven't been what I need to be. But can I tell you what? You can be what God's called you to be. You can make a decision that you're not going to be controlled with anger and, you know what, frustration. that you're going to cast your cares upon God, that you're going to care about what God cares. Honey.
So interesting, every time we talk about Proverbs 31, it's always a Proverbs 31 woman. But do you know that there's a Proverbs 31 man? Did you ever look at Proverbs 31? It talks a lot about the husband in there and who he is. And it's so important. Listen, the things that were addressed today, you know what, are important things for, we meet with couples all the time. And I said to, recently I was talking to a couple, and I said, listen, as pink is pink and blue is blue all day long, and men don't understand women and women don't understand men, but we're still going to be women all day long. And men are going to be men all day long. And it's not until we begin to understand one another and care, even though I don't understand the way that you think, the way that you think matters. Do you understand that? Instead of discounting each other, the Bible tells men, it's so important. That Proverbs 31 man, I bet you know what? It's not talked about a lot. But it really should be talked about a lot. And it really should be seen and looked at. Listen to some of the things that God says. He says, men, don't be embittered in your heart against your wives. Why is he saying that? You know why? Because he knows men are men all day long, the way they think, the way they behave, the way they respond, and women are women all day long. And it takes, here's what it takes. It takes both of them loving God and doing what God said, which is very unnatural. It takes supernatural. See, it takes God to make this thing work. And then is beautiful. But what we do in our flesh is we react. So today he talked about some of the attributes of women reacting. Why? Because they're emotional beings. Because everything is connected for a woman. We're not so much. That's the way women think. We can literally, you know what? Like if he walked in, remember the little scenario he gave? And he probably had the same shoes on when it happened 14 years ago. And that helped trigger the whole thing. You know what I mean? Right? Because that it is just all connected like that. One thing can pull up a hurt for years. Even though it was really tucked away and kind of dealt with. It's not that it never was tucked away. It was tucked away. It just can come to the front of the drawer so fast. You know what I mean? By another hurt. Men aren't like that. You know what? They just move forward and don't have all the emotion attached to it. Does that make sense? And so I said to women and men, you know what? They're not going to change in who, you know what I mean? In who God made them to be. And so it absolutely takes us doing what God said, you know what? And he says a lot, like for instance, for men not to be embittered towards their wives. How do men get that? Why do you think God's saying that? Because he knows how women are and he knows how men are. And then he says, and then he tells men, you know what? Listen to some of the things he says. This is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman. I'm going around different versions here. I'm going to read the New Living for you. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is an equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should. Now listen to this. So your prayers won't be hindered. You know what? I don't think men understand. We're all going to check in one day with God. You know that, right? We're going to check in and we're going to get a checkup as to what we did and didn't do. And I don't think men understand that when they stand before God, they will give an account for that woman that they were trusted with. Their wives, their heart. You know what I mean? Is when God gave her to you, was she all broken and jacked up, or did you break her and jack her up? Because you can't say that was her. It matters, you know what you do. So in the Proverbs 31 man, you know what, as we're talking about this woman has a husband. And there's things, there's attributes that it's talking about her husband in Proverbs. Let me just point out a couple of them for you, just really quick. Okay, so in 31:11, it says her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. So is that, you want that 31 woman? Be the 31 man. Because that man makes that woman. Do you understand that? That's why God put us together. He put us together that we would take both these attributes of who we are and that we would really complement each other. But we cannot do that in the natural. We have to do that considering the other and putting them and their feelings and their ways, you know what, higher than our ways. So, and then the next thing in Proverbs 31:28, it says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. If you don't have that 31 wife, are you that 31 husband who's just praising her all the time, who recognizes we have so much power with each other? Listen, it's like everyone wants to be in control. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to be in control, then look at what God says about that other person, and you will be shocked at how much power you have. I mean, doing it God's way is power all day long. Because for women, you know what we want? We want our children, our husbands, close. You know what I mean? We just smother you. My mother used to say, oh, I could just squeeze you to pieces. You know what I mean? It's true. You know what I mean? That's what we want. But if we don't see the attributes that God is talking about for a woman, the very thing that we want, we end up losing as we push those who we want the closest to us away because we don't respond to them the way that God has taught us. Let me see if I can find you one more. Here's one. Proverbs 31:23. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders. So this is a man who has character. He's honorable. A lot of men, they want, you respect me, woman, and all this jazz, right? And they want all that. But are they respectable? Right? It's very much on you. And God, I'm telling you from the Word of God, God will put that on you. You'll give account for your wives. You know what? That's why he tells you to treasure your wife. And I don't know, but I see, you know what, a lot of non-treasuring going on of women. And I become concerned for men because God puts, you know what, a lot out there as he's talking to husbands as to how to treat their wives. You know what? And so if you're single in the room, then unless you plan on being single forever, this totally pertains to you. Right? So we're preparing ourselves for marriage, or we're in marriage, or preparing ourselves, you know what, for a relationship. Amen? Amen. Amen.